That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. If your contribution to society during the coronavirus is a social distancing stick, that's all I need to know about you.
Not a terrible idea. Come on.
Stay back. It's a 6-foot stick.
That's genius, really.
Here's the inventor talking about it.
This is a 6-foot long, easy to use measurement device for social distancing. You know, with something like this, you can just have it extended or just kind of walk around, and it's kind of a nice double check to make sure you actually are 6 feet from each other.
Right.
You're going to walk around with a stick that's 6 feet long, and you're just going to walk around with it like it's no big deal at Stop and Shop. Like, hey, look at me with my measuring stick.
Yeah, what do you think people with limited sight do, Anna Zapp? They do it every day.
Raven.
What do you think about people hiking on trails right now? Hippies that are out there having a good time, worried about their knees.
Those are walking sticks.
Well, you know what? What's the difference? One stick is the same as another stick. It's about the distance.
What if you hit people with these sticks?
I'll poke you back. If you get within my 6 feet, I will poke you back, and I'm keeping myself safe.
Do you want me to... you know what? I'm not even going to buy you a social distancing stick.
Sometimes.
I'm going to make you one.
That's
I'm
going to
go out
like.
In the woods, and
that's
I'm going to go get
like.
One. I'm going to get a ruler.
That's right.
I'm going to measure 6 feet. I'm going to cut it at 6 feet, and I'm going to paint it. And that's going to be it.
Don't be a hater, because sometimes the greatest inventions are the most obvious things that are right there in front of us. This dude's going to make a mint. If you really think that getting a pedicure or a manicure right now is going to be the first place that's going to open back up, then you are, number one, not paying attention, and number one. And number two, that's all I need to know about you. Nobody can touch your feet yet, all right? Nobody can touch them. Man, people are fired up about getting haircuts.
May 20th in Connecticut.
May 20th, maybe, but not for feet. They said no manis and pedicures May 20th.
No, they said nails, salons, and hair.
No.
Oh,
they said personal
services,
right, personal services. They said certain things are going to be open up, but intimate.
I think we got to get Governor Lamont on the line, because I think that he said nail salons can open on May 20th,
too. No. Limited stuff.
I don't know. We got to see. So, you know, that goes hand in hand with the press conference that Governor Lamont had in Connecticut yesterday, where he said that May 20th is going to be a big day because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be open. If everything stays on course, as it's been doing. If something happens, that could change.
No bars inside.
No inside restaurants at all. Only outdoor seating.
Right.
So you could only sit outside. But I believe it said hair and nail salons. We got to see.
No, limited capacity, it's saying. And it said no nails, I believe.
Well, we're going to do some research on that. And also, it's interesting because, you know, we've had the Tri-State Coalition where it's been Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. And Governor Lamont was the first to come out. But we haven't heard anything yet from the other governors about this. Is like basically the biggest step forward from anybody in the tri-state that has come forward. So it'll be interesting to see over the next few days, because I know Governor Cuomo said in his press conference yesterday that he's going to have some big announcements coming today. So I'm curious if it's going to be the same thing that Governor Lamont announced yesterday.
Let's see.
Well, we'll see. If you want to fill in the blank, you can call us too. 1-800-330-9999. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. A lot of countries have been getting creative about ways that they're going to socially distance while they try to reopen. But what if I told you that you might have to choose the 10 most important people in your life, and those are the people you can only hang out with?
Yeah, and that's it. And that's all you get for, you know, how long?
The foreseeable future.
Okay.
Until the vaccine comes out.
Oh, well, I mean, that could be a long time. That could be a year, year and a half,
and that's
positive thinking.
Dr. Fauci said possibly January.
Just because he had a jump in his step doesn't mean that it's done.
It's Anna and Raven. The Belgian government has reportedly been considering allowing people to form quote-unquote social bubbles. Now, these social bubbles would consist of 10 people, and you have to choose these 10 people. You have to declare your 10 people, and then you would be allowed to hang out on the weekends. You'd be allowed to have, like, get-togethers together. The only issue is that you can't overlap your bubble with other people.
Right.
So now you have to figure out, like, okay, you're an exclusive bubble.
Right.
So if I choose my mom,
Well, then I also have to clearly, obviously choose my sister and her family.
Okay.
Because we have to share my mom.
So it's because the fact that your mom will cross-contaminate going back and forth? Or is it because, you know, you can't leave that other person off the list because they're going to be like, how did I not make the list?
Well, I'm just saying in general, you can't overlap other people's bubbles. So those 10 people have to exclusively agree that you're the only ones that you see. And it's like basically creating your wedding list and who's going to make the cut and who's not.
Yeah.
But so much harder because you only get 10.
And the thing is about your wedding list is, let's face it, there's some names on there that you really want on there, and then there's some other names that are just obligatory and you got to put them on there.
Well, exactly. So who would be your social bubble, your 10 people? Because I was trying to do this last night in my head just for fun, and it was really hard to try to figure out.
But the thing is when you isolate social from just the people that you also have to keep alive, right? So that's the thing too, right? Like, I mean, I feel like I'm responsible for these people at this point. If I put them in my bubble, they're in the circle of trust. I got to be responsible for these people.
Yeah. For me, it was a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Because it's my family of four, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, and then my sister, my brother-in-law, and my niece.
Right.
That's our 10.
And your brother's on his own because he's in Texas.
Right. Joe's in Texas anyway. Right. So he's out of the bubble.
Right. You probably wouldn't align on your agreement as to what you had to lock down and distance anyways.
And I considered my cousin Angela.
Yeah.
But she has four kids.
Yeah.
So that takes up six people.
That's half the list.
I can't fit you all in my bubble.
Now, are pets included on the list?
No.
They don't count?
Okay. No. Humans only.
I've got some people then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to take the kid. I got to take my kid and his girlfriend. All right, because he's got a girlfriend, and I can't, you know, can't be like, get rid of the girlfriend.
Well, see, that's weird. Like, I wouldn't want the girlfriend.
I mean, she's
up.
Nice, but, you know.
But in your social bubble, you're the only person you get to hang out with all the time, and now you got to deal with the girlfriend you barely know. Now you got to wear pants again.
I'm just saying.
You want to put on pants?
If the kid's 22, if I don't let the kid come with his girlfriend, he's not coming.
All right.
You know what I mean? So, and then I got my wife, of course, right? And then I got my mom and dad, right? I got my wife's BFF, because if not, she'll just go absolutely insane and then be talking to me all the time about different activities, and I just can't handle that kind of overload.
All right.
Mike and Cheryl. Mike is the guy who does happy hour in the bar parking lot. He really needs his social exposure. He does.
We have to tell Mike, though, that he can't. Now, is he going to want to
be? No, but he can stay 10 feet away.
But is he going to want to be in your social circle?
Because
can't be in anybody else's social circle.
He'll be in my. He'd love to commiserate in my social circle. He would love to.
All right.
And then Bill and Santina. And Bill is the one that's been sewing like crazy. He's a very activity-related guy also, but I could give him like projects around the
friends.
House. Yeah.
What if they want to be with their family?
No, they don't have any other friends.
But they, parents? They don't have parents?
No, they don't like their parents.
I don't know. This whole social bubble thing is very stressful.
It is tough. I got to tell you. I don't know how I'm going to narrow this down.
1-800-330-9999. What was your last big social gathering before COVID-19 ruined basically everything? It's Anna and Raven. I was thinking about this because, you know, for years, my husband and I have been dying to go see Book of Mormon on Broadway. And for some reason, we could never, it's too expensive.
You never pulled it off.
So much. We could do stuff with the kids. Finally, on March 7th, we went to go see the show.
After a good amount of guilt that you gave your husband, he did. He came through. He got the tickets, handled everything, put the date night in the calendar.
Right. And then it turned out that thank gosh we went because that was our last big time out. Like, to me, the seats were so tight in that theater.
Right. You think about that now. You're like, oh, my gosh.
Like, we were shoulder to shoulder stuck between the people next to us. And all I could think about is, can you imagine now sitting that close to somebody?
If some people were sick in there, too, you imagine what that would have been like. You just don't know, right?
What was your last big social gathering?
I was at a gala in Westchester County at a lovely place. Raising money for dogs and cats and shelters. And it was you know, full of highbrow folks and doing their part to do what they can for animal shelters in their community. A lot of jokes about COVID at that point. You know, because I was already doing the foot kick handshake thing.
Yeah.
And other people were like, oh, just shake my hand. And I would run away.
Oh, see, I was one of those, you know, I wasn't a believer. So I hosted a lot of events that last weekend. I mean, hundreds of people. I shook hands and hugged kids.
I told you not to kiss those people.
I hugged so many kids.
And I did
tell
you.
So many hands. But I was thinking about it. If that was your last event that you could do in a big group,
right?
Would you be happy with that?
Well, you know what? I was wearing a nice suit. I saw some good friends.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun. And it was something that I care deeply about. So, I mean, on the one hand, yes. It was kind of like going to dinner on the Titanic.
We asked on our Facebook page, what was the last big gathering? And let's see if you would be happy if this was it.
Okay.
Dennis wrote Rockaway Beach St. Patrick's Day Parade on March 7th. It was probably the only St. Patrick's Day Parade that happened.
Right, and he's one of those nut jobs that loves St. Patrick's Day Parades. He's probably sleeping out of the curb kegs and eggs, buddy, right?
He's happy with that decision.
I'm thinking so.
Frank wrote, in late February, I went to Madison Square Garden to see Billy Joel. I've seen Billy Joel at MSG. It's fantastic. I'd be happy with that, too.
If it didn't kill Billy Joel, it's not going to kill you.
Janet said, Mohegan Sun in February.
That would be, I'm missing it.
Yeah.
They're sending me emails, and you know I love to go.
Lori said she went to the Museum of Ice Cream in New York City. That's on my list of things to do. What if it doesn't exist anymore after this? Oh.
They're still going to remember the good times of ice cream, I'm guessing.
Vicky, March 7th, went to a Rangers game at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
Yeah, and she
said
it was
sold out. That's right up to the line, right? The games, right up to the... Some of the game. We think about it, sports, the absence of sports is really a big deal in American culture. I have to say, it creates this sense of unnormal situation, obviously, and the fact that some teams really pushed it to the end. You wouldn't think about that now.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What was your last big social gathering?
My husband's family and I, every Saturday night, there's always, we're talking maybe 20 people, we play games. My brother-in-law made a wheel that he spins, and he made this big game, and you pick out this large item, like, he makes it look like dominoes, and you pick one, and you play a nickel. And we have so much fun, and we do this every Saturday night, and we haven't done this since this all started.
So you're running an illegal casino, is what you're telling me. You're running an illegal casino.
So many nickels.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. What's new and exciting in the world of home isolation?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh.
Except for nothing works, and I just want to throw everything out the window.
I wish you could have seen my house yesterday. I started trying to do my Zumba live on Zoom. I consulted with some social media experts who had me go buy all these things so I could set it up in my house. It was like my living room had been turned into a studio. I go to hit play and everything basically exploded and I almost lost my mind.
Good.
Why didn't you just go live on Facebook?
No, because we can't go live on Facebook with when I do Zumba because a lot of the music gets flagged and then they're going to shut down the Anna and Raven page. And then how are we going to connect to people?
Then how are we going to eat? We need to eat.
Right.
What's going on with you this morning, baby?
Yeah.
So you got some technical difficulties.
My postage printer thing doesn't want to print postage. I'm going to throw it out the window.
It wants to kill you.
Right in the front lawn.
Yep.
Right. I'm going to throw it out there.
Yep.
No.
And just... screw it.
No,
that's
don't
what you
do that.
Do.
We just did all the seating in the front yard. Don't do that. You're going to make another spot.
Everything that could go wrong does go wrong now, and it's 100 times more frustrating than it's ever been because you just want things to work.
She said to me yesterday, because the Wi-Fi has been spotty, and she says to me yesterday, what's going on with the Wi-Fi? Can't you call somebody? And I said, no, I can't.
But I'm sure you probably can.
No, you can't.
You
but
can.
But they can't go out and do anything.
Yes, they can. I see them out on the street all the time.
Don't tell her that. I don't want to do anything with this
today. Everybody's basically still doing that.
He doesn't want to do anything.
Right.
He doesn't want
to
do anything.
They're just
going to
tell
me
to reset the
modem. He's not lying.
That's what they're going to do. They're just going to tell me to reset the modem. That's all they're going to do.
That's what they're
going to say. There's a thing on their app, which he admitted to, that you can just click and say that you're having issues with your service. Like, just push the damn button and they'll come.
Why don't you push the button?
No, they don't actually come. What happens when you push the button is they turn the modem off remotely and turn it back on. It's the only thing they do.
Did you do that?
No. Not
why?
I unplugged it and turned it back on.
But what's going to hurt if you just put that button on the app?
You know what? Both of your problems are being projected onto me right now.
I'm just
all right,
saying.
I'm going to do it while we're on this phone call. How about that?
There you go.
Can't push the button. Can't move the shoes out in front of the door. Like,
what is that even? I've been doing a great job this week. I've been doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that better?
True or false? Has he been doing a great job?
He's been doing better.
That's promising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. Thank you very much.
He shaved last night and he left this big chunk of shaving cream on his mirror.
I didn't see it.
And
I told you that. I did not see
it.
It
was like on the edge of the mirror, so I left it open so he could see it.
Yeah.
And what does he do? He goes in the bathroom and closes it. And I was like, did you seriously just close that with that big chunk of it was a big chunk of shaving
cream. And what did I say when you said that?
I didn't see it.
That's right.
I didn't see it.
Because I didn't see it. That's right. I did not see it.
Did you clean it
How
after?
Did you miss it?
Yes, I cleaned it after.
All right.
Do you need glasses?
Do you need glasses?
Yes, of course I do. Yes, I do.
All right. So what kind of grade would you like to give Raven this week? I feel like we're all on edge. I've taken the route where I don't even think I talk to Paul anymore. Even though we're both under the same roof for a billion hours every day, we just kind of live side by side with the children, but we don't actually interact with
each
other.
We actually got some stuff done the last couple of days around the house together.
Well, that's good.
And in the yard, you know how much Alicia hates it when I go off and I do my own thing mm-hmm. when we're doing projects like that. And I followed her lead, uh-huh. and we worked it together. So,
all right. So
I mean, I thought it was a pretty good week. And I emptied the bathroom trash.
Okay.
And the backyard trash. I mean, I took all those
trashes
out. You're
supposed to do these things. Like,
but
why
I
do
did.
You guys want a pat on the back mm-hmm. when they're like, look, I took out the trash,
oh,
or look, I did
pet peeve.
Like, you're supposed
no.
That sounds
to do
sexist.
That.
Alicia,
that sounds sexist.
This is my biggest pet peeve when my husband says, look, I washed the dishes for you.
As right.
if there's not other people in this house yeah. and that they were not his dishes, too.
You gotta be, guys are being sexist. The trash is my job.
I think for the next week, you and I, Anna, we should walk around the house and be like, look, I did your laundry. High five.
Right.
Look, I cooked you dinner.
Oh,
like, I want you to praise me.
Right.
You don't do that already?
Right.
Mm. Wow.
Right there. What kind
what
of grade would you like
stopped?
To get him this week?
I mean, he did help in the yard, so he's worked his way back up to a C. But, I mean, he got a D and an F and now a C.
Raven, the best part about being home so much really is spending so much time with my girls. I have two girls, a 17-month-old and an 11-year-old. So it's very different the time I get to spend with them. It's Anna and Raven. My 17-month-old, I think because I spend so much time with her now that I've learned a lot of things about her. And she's weird. She's
sure.
really weird.
Yeah, no, that happens. I've seen it. Not every kid is an angel or a demon specifically. There's gray matter in there. And you have to really take the time to define which one your child is going to be. So weird is good, though. Unique is okay.
Oh,
it's
I love
all right.
it.
There's not a million unicorns.
Yeah, no. I tell Hayden all the time, my older daughter, I said, you never want to be normal. You always want to be weird because that's what makes you stand out from the crowd.
Sure.
But we just read this article that 14-month-olds is really when they can start creating a personality. And usually that personality that they start creating at 14 months old stays with them for the rest of their life. So now that she's 17 months and for the last 2 months we've been together all the time, I've been reflecting on what is that personality for her.
If I challenged you and said, give it to me three different words that describe your baby's personality, what are they?
Silly
is one. That's a good one.
Stubborn. Yep.
Okay, that's got some pluses and some minuses.
Defiant.
Ooh, that's kind of like saying stubborn twice.
Right.
Which tells me that you are having some difficult times right now.
Why don't I say, instead of stubborn, because this is a more positive word.
Okay.
Persistent. Persistent.
Yep. Which also means pain in the right.
Right.
Okay.
But persistent can be good because I can be persistent. If there's something that I want and I keep getting told no, I continuously going after it until I finally get it.
Right.
And that's how she is with the dog food.
Right.
No matter how many times I tell her not to eat the dog food.
Right.
She will, the second somebody takes eyes off her, she beelines to put the dog food in her mouth. I can't imagine that dog food tastes good.
Therefore, she is defiant about your order that dog food is not to be touched.
But she is persistent.
Right.
That she'll get what she wants.
Right. And she is stubborn enough to eat it all day long.
Knowing that I don't want her to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yesterday.
This all seems silly.
But there's certain things that like we keep telling her no and she keeps going back for it. Like putting your hands in the toilet. Don't put your hands in the toilet. Now, I've lectured to everyone in my house. Hey, close the door of the bathroom when you leave the bathroom.
Right.
So she doesn't. But it's like she's constantly monitoring, waiting for one moment. And the minute that our eyes are off her and somebody left that door open, she is elbow deep in toilet water.
You know, I hate to do it. Every time you talk about your small, precious baby, because you always point out that I do it.
Oh, here we go.
But your baby's just like my dog.
Just like your dog.
Just like my dog.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably because your baby's at the same eye level as your dog, and that's who she's learning from.
Well, if the science is right, okay, and they say that how they are at 14 months old is going to dictate how they are as an adult.
Oh, boy.
I'm wondering if she's going to be able to work for a dog food company as a professional taster, which is not setting the bar all that high.
Better than sitting in the pound.
I guess. Anna and Raven's Mother's Day Classroom. We want to hook one of you awesome moms up with a $500 gift card to Target.
Yeah, let's face it. It's not easy being a mom. It's not easy being a teacher. Right now, you probably have to do both jobs, and you're handling a whole lot more with the stress that's going on in the world. But a lot of you are being unbelievably innovative, and we want to see that.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. You can head to annaandraven.com, and we have all the information there. We want you to submit a short video of you teaching your kids. Whatever unique lesson plans you have going on, we want to see it, and we're going to choose one mom to win this $500 gift card.
Nice. I'd love to go through Tarjay and just load it up.
Right. Here is Shannon with her son.
Okay. What word are you making? What are we looking for?
A diagram.
Where's that?
Right here.
Great job.
So I was confused because they're using their fingers and they're writing and frosting.
What's confusing?
Because I thought it was they were just doing spelling. No. They were learning about diagraphs.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
So I do.
She's got a good grade.
Well, I Googled it because I was like, what is a diagraph that he knows so much about?
Don't you have a master's in English?
Yeah, but it's been about 15 years since I've used it, Raven, and I'm not that smart anymore.
Thanks,
I've been sitting
Mom.
In a room with you for way too long.
Mom and Dad got to feel good about that investment.
A diagraph is two letters to make one sound.
Right.
So there you go. Yeah.
Right.
Good job, Shannon, teaching your kid about diagrams.
That is good.
You should come to our house and teach us, too, with frosting.
Well, I love a reward that comes in the amount of food. I do appreciate that.
Another mom who has all of a sudden become a teacher, too, is Megan, and she sent our video. She has the kids working in the background, and she's just singing to them like this. And the kids get up and start singing with her.
Yes,
and
the dog is in there.
Everybody's
the cat,
singing.
Everybody.
And I was like, yeah, that's the kind of lesson plan you want when all the kids get involved, too.
Do you have a neighbor like that, though, that's just so upbeat that sometimes you just want to be like, no, 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 no.
I think I am her.
No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
I got news for you.
Okay.
That woman was far more happy than you are.
Submit the video of you teaching your kids at annaandraven.com. We got all the info there. Win yourself that $500 gift card at Target.
You were that woman.
I'm not. Are you sure I'm not her?
Go to annaandraven.com and get your video.
I might.
No.
Oh, okay. Three things you need to know this hour. It's Anna and Raven. Number one, Governor Lamont of Connecticut had pretty big announcement yesterday.
So May 20th is an important startup date for us.
So what is May 20th? Well, that's going to start the four-tier plan that he unveiled yesterday to reopen the state. And this is all if, and that's a big thing, if COVID-19 cases continue to decline and it all kicks off again May 20th.
Can I ask a question? And it might sound a little bit morbid, but I need to know. I'm curious. They keep talking about the lessening of hospitalizations.
Yes.
But do the number of deceased daily count? Okay.
No. So again, four tiers. So it doesn't mean that we flip a light switch. What that means is that hair and nails will reopen, which is pretty crazy if you think about it. There's going to be things in place to maintain social distancing in these places, but hair and nails will reopen.
I mean, you're scraping my cuticles.
Well, you got to wear gloves and masks. Restaurants are going to be able to open for outside seating only and no bar area. Museums and zoos can reopen for outdoors only. Retail can reopen and camping too. So that's a lot of things to kind of put you back on track to being normal.
Yeah.
What's been interesting is that the Tri-State Coalition, Governor Lamont, Governor Murphy in New Jersey, and Governor Cuomo in New York have all been working together. So I know that yesterday during Governor Cuomo's press conference, he did say that there's going to be a lot of announcements coming today. So I think that we may see something similar with New York.
I don't think it'll be exact, but I think it'll
very
be similar. Yeah.
He did. Everybody asked about schools. That's what every parent wants to know. Like, what's going to happen with schools?
Sure.
And Governor Lamont said that announcement will be coming next week.
Right.
I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah. I don't think they're going back this year.
No, I think it's at this point, forget it.
But
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Second thing you need to know this hour, speaking of Governor Cuomo, he also used his press conference yesterday to talk about what the state is doing to prepare for contact tracing. But the big news was this.
The MTA is undertaking something that people would have said was virtually impossible.
And what is that? That's closing down the New York City subway system every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for full cleaning starting next Wednesday.
Wow.
And all the cars are going to be sanitized every 24 hours. Somebody asked me how long are they doing it now. Right now it's every 3 days, every 72 hours.
Minimum every 3 days, but sometimes more often than that.
Yeah. Long Island Railroad and Metro North will also get cleaned every 24 hours, but they won't have any disruption in service.
Okay.
De Blasio actually made a comment on that I thought was really interesting during the press conference, where he said that there's always been the issue with the homeless in the subway. And this is a really good chance to kind of the double-edged sword. where they have to clean, but they're also going to be really heavy on addressing that issue with the homeless, which is good.
Well, we'll see how it works out.
And the best news of the day, the third thing you need to know this hour, happy Dr. Anthony Fauci is my favorite Anthony Fauci, that is for sure. He's been so optimistic the last couple days as preliminary studies on a medicine showing promise of battling COVID-19. And the administration in general keeps talking about this warp speed vaccine.
Okay.
And he was asked if January is a realistic timeline for this vaccine to be administered to millions of people. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I do. So I'm obviously part of the team that's involved in that.
Yup. He says, absolutely.
It seems like you took a 3-second clip and then made it seem exactly like you wanted it to say. I'm sure there was a caveat to
it. Well, the caveat to it is that, and I'll give you the really abbreviated version of it, is that they're going to do all these studies right now that are showing promise. Even though it's not 100% proven yet,
right.
They're starting to make
they're making headway.
They're making the vaccine right now. So they're rolling those dice. So even if it fails, they're just going to throw the vaccines away. But once it gets passed, and if it does get passed, it'll already be set to distribute the second they get the 100% thumbs up.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, this one got me, Raven. It's Anna and Raven. The bright side, the good things that are happening in your community. Luciana Lira is a teacher at Hart Magnet Elementary School in Stamford, Connecticut. And she's being called a hero. And I think this is the most incredible story. So one of Lyra's students' moms reached out to her. The entire family had tested a positive for COVID-19.
How scary.
Yep. And the mom had gone into labor, and she was about to undergo an emergency C-section. And she called. Now, this is her child's teacher.
Right.
And she called her, and she asked this.
Could you please help me, my baby, and my husband, and my son?
And how did she want to have her help? By taking care of the newborn.
Wow.
Because all of her family members and their family was out of country. It was just them living in this house.
Sure.
And they didn't have anybody else. And everybody in the house had tested positive for COVID-19. And they didn't want to bring this newborn into the house.
Imagine having to make that decision at that moment and figuring that out. And then, you know, what you're doing is you're thinking to yourself, okay, if all these other people are eliminated, who is the nicest, kindest person that I know?
Right.
And that's the name they came up with.
And it's your child's teacher.
Wow.
And this is what Mrs. Lira said.
Literally a call from God. I just didn't even think about it. I just told my family, said I have to do this.
She's 32 years old, and she just, sure. You know, she went home and she said to her husband, I have to do this. I have to help this family. And sure enough, she took in the baby.
Yeah.
And the baby has been staying with her and living with her, and she's the primary, she's the temporary custodian guardian of the baby.
Sure.
Still, now mom has recovered, but everybody else in the house still is symptomatic and still has COVID-19. So the baby can't come in yet. So she just continues to watch over the baby in this time.
I've always believed that the relationship between teachers and students would always have to go above and beyond.
I think this is beyond.
Yeah.
Above and beyond. Can you imagine?
That's amazing, right? And at 32
about,
as a teacher, she'll probably end up teaching that student down the road, you know?
It's amazing how big our hearts is. With everything bad that's going on, just to think that there's so many good people out there and the teachers that care so much about our kids, and they're bending over backwards trying to make them feel good, and then you have a teacher like this that steps up and takes care of a newborn.
Yeah.
A newborn.
It's a good human story, no question about it. That's the bright side.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what the problem is, and then you judge who is right. Dennis and Erica. Erica, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, he wants us to have these screen-free days. He calls them screen-free S days. Saturdays and Sundays, we just totally shut off all our screens, like TV, no internet. And I just think that's ridiculous. Why should we restrict ourselves?
Oh, I get it. I get what you're going here for. Dennis, are you going to do activities together, Dennis, instead? Or are you just not going to have screens and then sit in silence or go off and do your other, you know, own things in the world?
No, I definitely plan on doing things. That's the whole point. If we just sat in silence, we'd go crazy. I was thinking, like, we could, you know, get some housework done that we never have gotten time to do before, or we can play some board games, or we can just talk, you know, just not technology-wise fun, you know?
But why the S days? Why Saturday and Sunday? Would you like probably the two biggest days just to veg out?
I mean, just because of exactly that reason. Just so we do something different and we can kind of just stray away from what everyone else is doing.
It's a good rule to put in place before things go back to normal, right? If you're going to do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be forever. It's just something to do for the meantime.
Hmm. Right, but don't you want to watch TV when you get tired or check your email?
We have all week to do that. That's the whole point.
And Erica, you're pretty dead set against this?
Yeah, well, we don't have all week to, like, binge our, the shows that have been in our Netflix queue for years either, and I'd like to catch up on some of those. I've been working. I haven't had time. I need to just chill out on the weekend and want to just zone out sometimes.
Well, what we do is ask our audience what they think. They may agree with you, Erica. It's your weekend, too, and maybe you're not down with this. You want to watch TV and chill out, and that should be enough to say, no, thanks. Like, you'll compromise during the day, but to have the whole weekend screen-free, no. But they may see Dennis's eye, too. Your husband's saying, I want to spend more time with you. I want to do other things. I feel like we're spending too much time with our devices, and this might be the perfect way to keep us going. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Dennis has a great dean for great idea for quarantine. He calls it the screen-free days, the S days. So on Saturdays and Sundays, no screens, no phones, no computers,
yeah.
No TV, nothing. Just alone time with him and his wife. And clearly, Erica, not on board.
Well, you know, Erica's still working at this time right now. So she says, when are we going to catch up on the stuff that we've got logged up on Netflix? When are we going to do this? When are we going to do that? But, at the same time, I think that there's probably enough exposure with them in the house during the week that he's just sick of devices, period. This is part of how we work at home now.
Is it obnoxious that he's really asking her to do this and really wants to? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hello, I'm on Dennis's side. I think it's a complex, interesting issue that they have here. And I think that they definitely should give Dennis's idea a try. I think it's a great idea for them as a couple. And if she really doesn't want to, she's not into it, she doesn't want to do it, they should start off slow. Maybe instead of having all day Saturday and Sunday, just do, the majority of Saturday. Like, do it until 8 p.m. And then after that, they can have screens. It's really a good time for them to spend time as a couple. And it might, help them, figure out if they really are into each other or not.
I mean, they're a good divorce.
Thank you for your call. Have a good morning. Right.
That's what the pandemic does, is it makes you determine whether or not you should get a divorce from your significant other.
I think that it's really jarring, truly. I mean, the phone is just another addiction. It's true. If you look at it, the phone is just another addiction. And you hear the desperation in her voice when the idea is even floated. She doesn't want to try it. She's fearful of trying it.
Yeah, but the problem is not so much the phone. I get that. I mean, I can understand why you would try to eliminate the phone, but it's like, if you don't want to watch a movie together, what are you going to do?
Well, okay. All right.
But yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. I love having the text line because people can really unload on it. We're in the Couples Court. Anna and Raven, 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. And Dennis has proposed to his wife S days. These are screen-free days, and they happen to be Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. See what he did there? Screen Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I get it. It's very clever.
And he says no TV, no computers, no phones, just the two of us doing things together. She says it seems unreasonable. They work all week. This is like the time for them to unwind. They're not even going to watch TV together?
I think everybody's definition of unwinding is different, right? And if yours is cuddling up with your phone on the couch or on the lounger or whatever and going through your stuff, then that's your idea of a good time. It would seem to me that if that's her idea of a good time, they're on different planets.
Let me read you this text. What a stupid woman. This man wants time with her. She's a moron. Enjoy your man.
That's strong.
Right.
Mr. Steal Your Man right there. Texted in.
I love it. I'm more on the husband side, another text says. My boyfriend and I have unplugged nights where we turn our phones on airplane mode and totally get off social media. Then we would go on Netflix or watch a movie series and just not have our faces in the phones. I don't agree with all the screens, but maybe they can compromise. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his. I mean, it's no big deal. It's just the weekend. Come on. Live without your devices, right?
I would hope so, but some people feel completely different than you and I, though, and that's just the truth.
But you say that, but I would like to see you do it.
Oh, I would do it.
No TV?
No, the TV would be the hardest part, but I would negotiate.
That would be hard.
Right, you can't negotiate.
No, of course they can negotiate. No, they're married. Life is a negotiation.
He said no screens. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
On his side. I wish my husband would want to do so many different things with me that he would have to put down his phone for a full 48 hours. I would be happy with 3 hours.
Right. I mean, giving up an entire weekend seems like a lot, but I could understand the appeal if he wants to spend time with his wife.
It's such a perception thing, though, right? Because when we're sitting on the couch, there's times where I want to take my wife's phone and just chuck it out the window. If I'm being honest, there's times where I look at it and she's on it and she's in it and I just want to get rid of it. But I have to remind myself that there are those days where she said, you've been on your phone all day or you've been doing it or whatever. And, you know, both of us have jobs that are tied to it, too. I wish that we could just get rid of both of them, to tell you the truth.
Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. It sounds sweet, but the truth is that it's unrealistic. All it's going to do is cause anxiety. It's one thing to say that you want to make an effort to try to spend more time together and less time in front of the TV, but it's another thing to force yourself into it for 2 days in a row every week.
The most important days, too, Saturdays and Sundays.
But, I mean, the most important days for what? For TV, for your phone, or whatever? I want to understand
what
you're saying.
For your mental break from work.
Well, that's exactly when you should shut things off.
Mm.
I guess one person's trip or vacation is different than somebody else's, right?
Yeah. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dennis, our audience agreed with you. Erica, people thought it was sweet that he wanted to do this and spend more time with you, and it's a small price to pay. You put your away message on Friday, and you can check everything back on Monday.
I mean, that's a lot of time. I guess I'll give it a try for like a weekend and see how it goes.
Thank you. Just give it a try. That's all I'm saying. It could be fun.
If you guys have an agreement, then you could, if it's date night or something like that, you guys could watch a movie or whatever when you make an agreement to do that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nothing has to be set in stone. It doesn't have to be black and white. You know, we can have some fun. It's a good thing to try.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. You got a problem, too? Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Beat Raven in pop culture trivia and win. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Lynn, you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, you got a whole team with you ready?
We're ready.
Where's your team representing?
The post office, Isle Terrace.
Let's do it. Ask Raven to leave the room, please.
Please leave the room. Good luck, Raven.
Neither rain nor sleet nor snow is going to stop me from putting foot to butt today,
All
girl.
Right. Okay.
Good luck.
All right.
All right, here's how it works. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, $100 to Duncan. You ready?
Ready.
Number 1, Lizzo revealed her favorite birthday present this year was a life-size Baby Yoda. What instrument is Lizzo known for playing?
The flute.
Number 2, Mark Wahlberg recently wore nothing but an apron on a surprise appearance on Ellen for Melissa McCarthy after she dreamed he moved into her house. What movie did Mark Wahlberg star in alongside a foul-mouthed talking stuffed bear?
Ted.
Number 3, actor Harrison Ford is under investigation by the FAA after an incident on a runway while he was piloting a plane in L.A. last week. What animal is Indiana Jones afraid of?
Snakes.
Number 4, Nick Offerman reprised his role of Ron Swanson for a reunion of what show?
Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation.
Number 5, you can now pre-order Disney-made character face masks. What is the name of the plastic utensil new toy in Toy Story 4?
Forky.
Forky.
All right. All right, let me bring Raven back in.
No
hesitation, all 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see how I do.
Number 1.
All right.
Lizzo revealed her favorite birthday present this year was a life-size Baby Yoda. What instrument is Lizzo known for playing?
Well, she plays them all, but I'm going to guess that you're talking about the flute just because nobody else plays the flute on a cool stage like that.
Yes. Number 2, Mark Wahlberg recently wore nothing but an apron on a surprise appearance on Ellen for Melissa McCarthy after she dreamed he moved into her house. What movie did Mark Wahlberg star in alongside a foul-mouthed talking stuffed bear?
Ted and Ted 2.
Yep. Number 3, actor Harrison Ford is under investigation by the FAA after an incident on a runway where he was piloting a plane in L.A. last week.
The FAA?
Yeah, is that what it's called?
It's the FAA.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, all right, the FAA.
Never say that again.
Right.
Okay.
What animal is Indiana Jones afraid of?
He's afraid of snakes.
Yeah.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Number 4, Nick Offerman reprised his role of Ron Swanson for a reunion of what show?
Parks and Rec. I heard it was great.
Yep. Number five, come on. You can now pre-order Disney-made character face masks. What is the name of the plastic utensil new toy in Toy Story 4?
Isn't it Sporky?
What is it?
It's, I thought he was Sporky.
It's Forky.
Forky.
Oh, Raven. And just like that, congratulations, guys. You won.
Thank you so much.
All right.
2 days in a row and on a Friday, I got to tell you, I'm displeased.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Raven's win streak is staying at zero.
Isn't the spork already inherently more funnier than a fork, though?
Well, he is a spork.
What? See that?
But his name is Forky.
Oh, that's so screwed up.
Now, Raven, can I hear you say that you can't beat Lynn in the post office?
This is Raven, and I can't beat Lynn in the post office. Today, the rubber match approaches. We're going to do this again sometime.